This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Tuesday, September 2nd, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News. We'll also have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, today's news. State Senator James Meeks, a Democrat, wants Chicago students to skip the first day of school today. The boycott's designed to draw attention to Illinois' school funding inequities. From the Republican National Convention in St. Paul, Amanda Vinicky reports on how the Republicans involved in the plan.
Meeks originally said the boycott would go forward unless Illinois put billions of dollars more into public schools. But after a call from Republican businessman Ron Gidwitz last week, he agreed to a scaled-back version. It would put $120 million into four school clusters. Gidwitz explains his theory.
Rather than try and fight through this $2 billion school funding reform issue, why not demonstrate that you can, in fact, make schools work if you properly fund them?
While the governor and legislative leaders expressed interest in the Gidwitz plan last week, it's not an agreed deal. So Meeks says he'll go forward with the boycott. Gidwitz failed to win the GOP nomination for governor in 2004. From the Republican National Convention in Minneapolis, St. Paul, I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Gidwitz says it's bad to take kids out of school, but he says there's a validity to the Meeks boycott. He says Illinois has forgotten about its school funding problems. He says the boycott will make it a top priority. Meanwhile, Republicans yesterday adopted a new platform, but some GOP teachers say they're not pleased with the party's priorities for education. Jerome Hoynes, who teaches at Glenbrook North High School, was among those at the Republican National Convention. Hoynes says he's opposed to both school vouchers and merit pay for teachers, two items supported by his party's platform.
If you choose to send your son or daughter to an independent or a religious school, that's your right, but you should pay for that or earn scholarship or win scholarships to go. And so when they start supporting these schemes, it's just disappointing because to set up new bureaucracies, to shift limited funds, to me, it's really anti-conservative.
Hoynes is the creator of an online Republican advocacy group for teachers called Elephant Educators. He says he's also disappointed with about what's not in the National Party's platform, namely alternatives to standardized testing and commitment to a smaller class size. The state GOP platform does not take a stance on vouchers or merit pay. Besides education policy, the national platform takes stances on national security, energy, the environment, and health care reform. Hoynes says he has faith that if John McCain is elected, he will engage Republican teachers before acting on the party platform. Indiana's public schools next year will largely no longer be able to charge tuition to transfer students who live in other districts. Schools have charged the parents of such students as much as $5,000 a year. But an unintended consequence of the state's new property tax law has some worried about schools being tempted to recruit top students or athletes. Indiana University education researcher Terry Spradlin tells the Indianapolis Star that he expects many gray areas as schools decide which transfer students to accept, including whether to enroll any at all. Senate Tax Committee Chairman Luke Kenley says he expects the legislature to take a serious look at the issue. He says it's not fair to foist such a major change on schools from an accidental change in the law. Indiana State Police are investigating a second incident of vandalism at a memorial for two police officers killed during a charity bike ride in 2006. The memorial on Indiana 62 in Vermilion County honors Indiana State Police Lieutenant Gary Dudley and Lake County Sheriff's Deputy Gary Martin. They were struck and killed by a support van during a ride to raise money for fallen police officers. A Vermilion County, Indiana Sheriff's Deputy discovered the damage on Monday. Flowers were pulled from the ground, profanities were spray-painted on two wooden crosses, and photos of the officers were covered with black spray paint. Police believe the vandalism occurred early yesterday morning. The memorial was vandalized on July 23rd. No arrests have been made. Several reform groups will call for the repeal of Indiana's property taxes when a legislative committee holds a hearing later this month. The Interim Study Committee will hear testimony on the issue at the State House on September 10th. Indiana Property Tax Repeal Alliance Chairman John Price says property tax restructuring passed last year will have only a cosmetic approach. But Senate Tax Chairman Luke Kenley says property taxes on homeowners are down an average of 39% statewide this year from 2007 in the 55 counties that have sent out bills so far. Both major party candidates for governor say they want further property tax reform, but neither has announced a proposal to eliminate property taxes. The last of eight people injured over the weekend in a chemical spill at an East St. Louis plant have been treated and released from St. Louis County hospitals. The victims were working at the Rocor plant in East St. Louis when a chemical spilled. Authorities say a container of a hazardous light powder broke open when being loaded Saturday and contaminated the workers. Authorities are certain the chemical was nitroaniline, a highly toxic chemical that can cause serious breathing problems and even death. East St. Louis officials say the spill at Rocorp was contained and posed no public threat to the community. Cleanup at the site continued yesterday and is expected to wrap up by tomorrow. For the latest newscast online, go to WIOL.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bostrom. Death and taxes, Benjamin Franklin once said, are the only things certain in the world. A key difference, of course, is that one makes an annual appearance and the other arrives but once, unless a newsroom reports the story a bit on the early side. Here's Amy Guida with this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
The Bloomberg Newswire was the first and only to mourn the passing of Apple Computer Company CEO Steve Jobs last week. Jobs' obituary came across Bloomberg News with this odd first paragraph. Steve Jobs, who helped make personal computers as easy to use as the telephone, has XXXX. He was TK. Odd abbreviation, sure. But odder still is that Steve Jobs is very much alive, thank you. It seems that Bloomberg got the story wrong, sort of, and the abbreviations were meant to be filled in later, perhaps years from now when Jobs actually does die. Oops. Now, you might think to yourself, no harm done. It's good news when bad news isn't bad news at all, just as Mark Twain would say, exaggerated. But consider how you might respond psychologically upon reading of your own demise. Then you might understand why some, upon reading their own obituaries, have turned the page and turned to court. They've sued mostly on defamation grounds, that tort that offers help to those who've had their reputations wrongly dragged through the mud. Defamation occurs when a person is wrongly exposed to public hatred, shame, or ridicule. It's meant to right the wrongs done by those who induce an evil opinion of one in the minds of right-thinking persons. Trouble is, as you may have noted, that death itself isn't defamatory. Cause of death might be, if one's still alive, but death is sadly so ordinary that reputations won't be ruined because of it. Publications that jump the gun on death, in the court's words, might be unpleasant, annoying, and irksome, and may subject the living to jokes, jest, and banter, but they're not enough to sustain a lawsuit, even when the lawsuit is brought on other grounds, like negligent infliction of emotional distress. Courts aren't all that sympathetic for one very obvious reason. While we appreciate the shock that plaintiff must have felt in reading of her death, one court wrote, it was necessarily quickly dissipated by her certain knowledge that the announcement was premature. As for the Steve Jobs too early obituary sent by Bloomberg, Fortune magazine suggests that careful planning was behind the error. Newsrooms often have pre-written obituaries ready to go when a famous person dies. Somebody apparently updated the Steve Jobs obituary that day, the theory goes, and instead of putting it in a file, accidentally sent it off to Newswire subscribers. I imagine the phone in the Bloomberg newsroom started ringing right away. One big reason why Mark Twain also reportedly wrote, I am not the editor of a newspaper and shall always try to do right and be good so that God will not make me one. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. In the forecast today, sunny skies with a high around 88 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, the low around 62. Partly cloudy tomorrow, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the high around 82. Mostly cloudy tomorrow night, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, the low around 65. Thursday, mostly cloudy, a chance of showers again. Locally heavy rainfall possible Thursday with the high around 75. Thursday night and Friday, mostly cloudy, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Locally heavy rainfall possible once again. The low around 62, the high around 78 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, September 2nd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.